أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صبغة الله ومن أحسن من الله صبغة ونحن له عابدون. قل أتحاجوننا في الله وهو ربنا وربكم ولنا أعمالنا ولكم أعمالكم ونحن له مخلصون. أم تقولون إن إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط كانوا هودا أو نصارى؟ قل أأنتم أعلم أم الله؟ ومن أظلم ممن كتم شهادة عنده من الله؟ وما الله بغافل عما تعملون. تلك أمة قد خلت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم ولا تسألون عما كانوا يعملون. سيقول السفهاء من الناس ما ولاهم عن قبلتهم التي كانوا عليها قل لله المشرق والمغرب يهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول عليكم شهيدا. وما جعلنا القبلة التي كنت عليها إلا لنعلم من يتبع الرسول ممن ينقلب على عقبيه وإن كانت لكبيرة إلا على الذين هدى الله وما كان الله ليضيع إيمانكم إن الله بالناس لرؤوف رحيم. صدق الله.
Sorry, Omar is busy right now. Jazakumullah khairan, Qari sahab. So, alhamdulillah, at this point I'm going to introduce our youth coordinator. Faisal Kahdani graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee with an accounting and finance double major, as well as a minor in real estate. He currently owns and manages an e-commerce and digital marketing firm that specializes in web traffic, conversion, and monetization. You're calling me, Omar. You're calling me. Yes. He's currently pursuing an advanced diploma at Islamic Online University and has previously completed foundational courses at Aris Institute and Amin University. Currently, he serves on the board of Ma'ruf. Faisal is our youth coordinator. Alhamdulillah, from his efforts and the efforts of that team that he has organized around him, that we are here tonight. By Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq. And he wants to present to the community his plan on how to build and develop a vision for the youth and for the community and subsequently put that into action. So Faisal, I'll give you the floor.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Saad, for the introduction, although I definitely don't deserve it. But we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses from even the lowliest of people to elevate his deen and to serve his deen. So I can only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he accepts from me and that you forgive me for your shortcomings and forgive all of us for our shortcomings and judgments and error that we might have moving forward with this initiative. So with that said, I want to start by giving a little passage, a little quote, which is very famous, describing the youth amongst the Sahaba. And this will kind of put things in perspective as to who the youth amongst the Sahaba were and what our vision is and what we would like to achieve moving forward with our own initiative with Al-Huda Youth. So I'll read this passage to you first. They were youths, yet mature youths, their eyes fresh and free of evil. Their feet refrained from approaching falsehood and futility. They sacrificed and expended themselves in worship and in withholding themselves from sleep. They sold their souls for souls which were to pass away and for souls which would then never pass away and which would never die. Allah saw them in the latter part of the night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at them in the last third of the night, bending their backs, reciting the Quran. Whenever one of them came to an ayah mentioning paradise, he would weep, longing for it, awaiting it. Whenever he came upon the ayah mentioning the fire, he would groan out of fear, as if the hellfire were directly in front of him. The earth devoured their knees, their hands, and their foreheads out of the sujood that they would be making. They joined exhaustion in the night with exhaustion during the day. So they were exhausted in the night worshiping Allah, and they were exhausted in the day serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their color becoming yellowed, and their bodies becoming exhausted through standing long in prayer and frequent fasting, while they regarded their own actions to be negligible before Allah. While they regarded all of these actions to be negligible before Allah. They never felt proud, they never felt that we're fasting this much, we're doing all of this ibadah, and that we are something special. They regarded their actions as being negligible before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They fulfilled their covenant with Allah and attained Allah's promise, which is Jannah. So this is a beautiful description of who the youth amongst the Sahaba were. And we know that this deen was given victory through the youth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided. But the question is, what was the difference between the youth of the Sahaba and with us today? What is it that they had special that we may be lacking as an ummah today? And the answer to that is that they had something in their heart. They had a quality in their heart, which is the intense and undying and unwavering love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love for His Messenger. They contained this love in their heart and they contained this love in their Messenger so much so that it poured out into their limbs. In fact, we know that the Arabic word for love, which is mahabba, the root word of it actually comes from the root word habba, which is something that sprouts, something that grows like a seed. So when love is planted in the heart, when love for Allah and His Messenger is planted in the heart, it's something that grows and grows and grows, and it comes out, it comes into the minds, it comes out into the tongue, it comes out into the limbs, and then there's nothing. You see nothing except for your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accordingly. So this was the quality that the Sahaba had. This was what they had so special inside of them. Oops. It's too skinny. I'll just hold it.
Okay.
So this intense love that they had in their heart that had sprouted out into their limbs and into their tongues and actions, that's what they had, which drove them to such, you know, amazing descriptions that I just read out. This was their quality. So the question is, how do we, in ourselves and in our youth, sort of cultivate this love for Allah and His Messenger? And that's really our vision, my dear brothers and sisters. Our vision is to help the youth and to help their parents and help all of us to develop such a deep love for Allah and His Messenger that following the deen and practicing the deen and spreading the deen becomes easy. That's really the vision. So the question is, how do you build this love for Allah and His Messenger? And without a doubt, one of the best ways to build love for Allah and His Messenger is to attach yourself to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is to attach yourself to the houses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So our first initiative, our first goal with Huda Youth is to attach the youth to the masjid. help them crave the masjid, help them want to come to the masjid, help them feel a belonging in the masjid, so that they can then, you know, become attached. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, "Man alif al masjid, alifahu Allah." Whoever attaches and befriends himself to the masjid, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will befriend this individual. And Rasulullah also says that whenever you see a person, and this is a reminder for us as well as the youth, for us adults as well as the youth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that whenever you see a person, young or old, male or female, frequenting the masjid, going to the masjid very often, they love being in the masjid, they long to be in the masjid. If you see such a person, then fashhadu lahu bil iman. Testify for this person that they're a believer. How can you doubt that a person is not a believer if they're constantly in the masjid and they're constantly frequenting the masjid? And another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says that do not be like the mutakhallifeen. Do not be like those who stay behind and pray in their homes without a reason and an excuse. Don't be like the people who on a daily basis, they don't like to come to the masjid to pray. They'd rather stay at home because they're tired or they're preoccupied with something, unless you have a valid excuse. So Rasulullah says that do not be like the mutakhallifeen, the ones who stay behind to pray. And then he goes on to say, he says that if you begin to stay behind at home and you begin to start doing your prayers at home without a reason, then لَتَرَقْتُمْ سُنَّةَ نَبِيُّكُمْ, then you have left the sunnah of your messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. لَوْ تَرَقْتُمْ سُنَّةَ نَبِيُّكُمْ, and if you leave the sunnah of your messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, لَدَلَلْتُمْ, you will be misguided. So here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reminding us over and over again that the virtue of the masjid is so deep, it's so highly regarded. This is what we envision for the youth, and this is what we envision even for the parents of the youth, to attach themselves to the masjid and to make the masjid their beloved friend. So the first activity that we've planned, which is this youth qiyam, in fact, the objective of this youth qiyam is to help the youth become attached to the masjid. That's why we have a night-long program. And instead of having something that's just based on talks, it's just based on the qiyam, it's just based on sitting and, you know, listening to lectures, rather we've planned fun activities. Sheikh Saad, you can go to the next slide, inshallah. So we've scheduled monthly qiyams to help the youth become attached to the masjid. And instead of it just being your typical qiyam, we're actually having activities that are going to go on, fun activities for the youth. Because we believe that part of getting attached to the masjid is to have memories, positive memories, and fun memories attached to the masjid as well. Somewhere where you can come and relax. Somewhere where you can come and discuss your problems. People that you can consult with. Mentors that you can look up to. So instead of being a place of don't do this and don't do that, we want the masjid to be something that they become attached to. So monthly qiyams are part of that objective, is to help the youth become attached to the masjid and help them do activities that they enjoy and that they love. Another way that we intend on attaching the hearts of the masjid is through having discussion groups. Again, discussion groups are private sessions where the youth can discuss their problems. They can feel free to come to the masjid without feeling judged. Because wallahi, as Sheikh Saad will point out in his talk, we have an onslaught of, you know, ideological and philosophical and all types of fitna that exist today. And when the youth have these issues and have these questions, the masjid should be the first place they want to come, not the last place. It should not be the last place where they want to come. So while others may see sports and funs and games in the masjid, we see the youth getting together and praying dhuhr and asr and isha in jama'ah, and fajr in jama'ah. So we want this to be a place where they can feel relaxed and they can have discussion groups and they can discuss their issues and problems. And lastly, we also want to have engaging activities in the masjid. So instead of only being a place for ibadah, only being a place where they seek knowledge, they can also have activities such as tutoring sessions perhaps. And if any of you have ideas, please feel free to come forward with it to us. So maybe tutoring sessions where they can come and seek help for, you know, schoolwork that they may have. Masjid as a place of having engaging activities where they can participate, discuss, vent, relax, and share their ideas. Next slide, shall we? But it doesn't stop there. Our initiative moves further than that. And the next thing that we want to cultivate in the youth and in all of us is to help them increase in beneficial knowledge, in ilm that benefits. Now, for this, I want to quote a verse of the Quran, and I kind of want to put things in perspective, because all of us know the virtues of knowledge. You know, I don't need to remind anyone here on how important it is to seek knowledge, but I want to give it a little bit different perspective. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُ. Allah himself bears witness that there's none worthy of worship and an absolute power and control except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is saying in this ayah that he himself bears witness that there's none worthy of worship, no one has absolute power except Allah, and then he says, wal malaikatu, and then the next best who are most worthy of serving witness, wal malaikatu, and after that, who? Wa ulul ilmi. And those, the people of knowledge. Wa ulul ilmi. So right after, we see the hierarchy. Allah saying that I myself am the best witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the absolute right to be worshipped. And then he says after that, the angels. And then the next best to serve witness are who? The ulul ilm, the people of knowledge. So our objective, my dear brothers and sisters, is to not only have the youth gain knowledge, but to become these witnesses that can actually stand up and testify to the rest of society that yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is an absolute power, and he's the one who has the right to be worshipped alone. We want the youth to have knowledge that they can carry outside of the masjid, and they can stand up to the rest of society and say that yes, we affirm that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the right to be worshipped alone. So this is our objective, knowledge that comes into practice. So these youth can also become amongst these witnesses, and so we too can benefit from that and become one of the witnesses as well. But it doesn't stop there. Knowledge that doesn't translate into action is useless. So we want the youth to go a step beyond that. And after they become witnesses themselves, they can go to society, they can stand up in the face of their friends, and they can stand up to the rest of society and proclaim that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. We want them after that to also bring benefit to society, to put this faith into action and to become what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you are the best and most beneficial nation. Khayra ummatin, you are the best and most beneficial nation, ukhrijat linnas, to spring forth from the rest of mankind. To go out and to also become, you know, beacons of community service. Before I get into our community service initiative, I just want to mention briefly about the increasing in beneficial knowledge. The way we intend to do that is that every Saturday, starting at 1 p.m., it's actually 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. And hopefully sessions after that as well, we've started the Saturday Youth Maktab, where the youth can come and they can learn, you know, sacred knowledge. But what's most important about this is that we're not focusing on halal and haram. We feel that this turns away the youth. When they're told that this is right, this is wrong, this actually turns away the youth. So going back to the example of cultivating love for Allah and His Messenger, the maktab is actually going to focus on getting to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and getting to know His Messenger. This is our primary goal. Because once you know and love Allah, and you know and love the Messenger, then following the halal and haram becomes easy. Following the halal and haram becomes easy. So our objective with the knowledge program is to first and foremost cultivate this love for Allah and His Messenger, and we're going to be assigning assignments and quizzes with incentives. So the youth are not just going to come and listen to lectures, but they'll actually have to submit assignments, they'll have to take quizzes, and they'll be rewarded for how they perform in these quizzes as well. And then we also want the youth to become presenters. Because there's no better way to learn something than to actually present it yourself. The one who teaches is the foremost expert, is the one who retains the most information. So we also want the youth to become excellent presenters of this knowledge. And we kind of want to go beyond the whole sit in the halaqa and listen approach, and rather engage them and have them present and have them become, you know, beacons of knowledge. So now the knowledge translates into action, and they go out to the rest of society, and they become, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kuntum khayra ummatin, you are the best nation raised for mankind. Why? Ta'muruna bil ma'ruf. The next initiative is, with this knowledge, go out to society and establish the good, enjoin the good, serve your community, watanhona 'anil munkar, and advocate for social justice. Wherever there's oppression, wherever there's a society, there's a segment of the population that is marginalized, we want them to stand up for social justice, and we want them to serve the community, because that's what knowledge should do. Knowledge should be something that comes and brings benefit to the rest of the community and to the rest of society. So we want them to step beyond and step outside and to serve the community. Community service projects such as neighborhood cleanups, going to the nursing homes, going and perhaps, you know, preparing a funeral home, helping the elderly. All of these types of things, we want them to carry these things into the rest of society. And we also want them to be advocates for social justice. وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ We want them to be advocates for the communities and the people that are oppressed. We want them to support those causes as well. And lastly, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ Something that comes forth from the rest of mankind becomes distinguished. It springs forth and they become leaders. We want them to engage in leadership training so they learn how to become managers, how to run organizations, how to be people that have influence in the society, whether it's in their workplace, whether it's in their school, whether it's in any situation where they're influencers. We want them to know how to manage people and how to become leaders in society as well. So that's, you know, a quick breakdown of our vision. And of course, alongside with it are going to be recreational activities. Because have no doubt, brothers and sisters, have no doubt that participating in physical activities is an ibadah. In fact, it is an ibadah. It's not just something fun and games, but rather when we take care of our bodies, and especially when we attach certain types of incentives to it, when we make it competitive, when we make it something where we can enhance our bodies, we're fulfilling a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's an act of ibadah with the right intention. It can actually become an act of worship for us. So we have many recreational activities planned for them. We just had our summer youth camp, which was phenomenally, you know, successful. Had a lot of great feedback on it from both the brothers and sisters. And now we have this youth camp. We're going to be having a winter ski trip and a winter lodging trip that's planned for them so they can go out and participate in winter activities as well. And we're going to be having outdoor activities, basketball tournaments, football tournaments, all of these things, once again, to help them establish the sunnah of Rasulullah. And these physical activities can become a means of ibadah if they do it with the right intention. So that, my dear brothers, is basically the vision of the Al-Huda Youth Initiative and how we plan to implement some of these things. Sheikh Saad, you can move to the next slide. And lastly, what I want to mention is that we want the parents to view us as your partners. We want the parents to view us as your partners because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you that save yourself and your families from the fire. So we want you to view us as your partners in helping you achieve that, inshallah. That by you entrusting your kids to us, you're helping to fulfill this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He tells you directly, save yourself and your families from the fire. So we want you to view us as partners and never forget, my dear brothers, that Rasulullah has given you a promise. And He says that one of the continuing deeds is a righteous son or daughter that makes dua for you. A righteous son of daughter that makes dua for you after you pass away. So again, view us as partners in helping you achieve that. And for that reason, we ask you for your trust. We ask you for your full confidence. And we ask that you commit yourselves into supporting us in this cause and to helping guide your youth towards becoming heroes of Islam and beacons of light in this community. Jazakumullahu khairan.